Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is Angel and Joe, and we're back with another Mailbag Monday podcast.
Remember, everybody, that you can submit your questions by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram, or you can email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com. Just type podcast question on the subject line.
All right, let's get started with our first question. I keep telling my spouse that we need boundaries, not from spending time with each other, but from trying to get each other to change. I know I have stuff to work on, but I can't help but get defensive and push back.
Is that in a book? Can I buy that book?
Yeah,
I'd like to read that book.
That's loaded right out of the gate.
Well, the whole challenge for marriage is you've got to go back to the original reason God put two people together. Marriage is two opposite people growing up together. There's no saying in Texas. I saw it on a bumper sticker. It says when two people are just alike, one of you is not needed. Mm. And so when you get married, we all get married for the same wrong reason. We get married. The Bible says you got three parts of everything. There's a spirit, soul, and a body. Well, we're attracted to the body. I don't know your soul. I don't know what you think. I don't know what you believe about God. But I do know what you look like, and I'm attracted to your body. You look good. You smile nice. You smell good. You kiss great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so what happens is it takes time to grow together. And I say it, people laugh, but I'm very serious. Marriage is two ignorant people growing up together. And so the Bible says iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend and your spouse is your best friend. So they're going to share things with you sometimes. Mm-hmm. You can't see coming. They're not trying to be rude. They're just being themselves. And so somebody said one time we were doing a seminar up in North Dakota, and there's a couple been married like 68 years. You know, and we had them stand up at the end, and somebody asked them, what's your secret of a long marriage? And they said, what? What's your secret of a long marriage? And they looked at each other, and they got quiet a minute, and they turned and said, we just didn't quit. Mm. and we try to make this Hollywood movie, we're in love. I said, well, love is a four-letter word, and it's the ugliest four-letter word in the Bible because it's the most expensive four-letter word in the Bible. You tell somebody I love you, you better get out your billfold, your 401k, your shotgun. That's why divorce courts are full.
Yeah,
Christians. Mm-hmm. What happened? You didn't know what marriage was, did you? This isn't your special Bozo the Clown. They're going to cook for you and kiss. You are two different people,
right?
And that's good for each other. That's what marriage is. That's what makes you strong. Two are better than one, not because you agree on the same thing, because you see it from a different viewpoint. So you're gonna get a different pushback from your spouse. What you have to learn are there are rules to conversation.
Yeah.
You know, be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath. You need to get that in you, not stop talking, not set boundaries. Okay, we're not going to talk from 10 to 2. We're not going to talk ugly. You can't do that. You got to be yourself. The worst thing would be to marry somebody. You feel like you're in your prison. They boxed me in. You know, one guy shared one time, said, I remember when I first got married, you know, I started to be open, and I thought, well, that upset them. Don't say that again. And then you said, well, that upset them. Don't say that again. And pretty soon there are so many barriers between me and my spouse. If we ever had to get an agreement for something important, according like Matthew 18:19, if any two of you agree, it'll be done of the Father. We couldn't get an agreement. We have so many barriers between us. We can't do that. We can't say that. We can't think that. And so marriage is two people it's two ignorant people growing up. You got to be able to just say what you think and learn how to respond. Well, if that upsets you, I'm sorry. Well, you need to change how I say that or change my facial expression or lower my voice tone. But you can't just completely, you know, build a wall between each other.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I was single for 12 years. And in my first marriage, I worked very hard at changing my spouse. And it made for some miserable times. But having that 12 years, I came to some really, I had to do a lot of soul searching, and I came to some very important changes in my life. And the biggest one that I bring into this marriage is all I can do is work on me.
That's good.
I cannot fix you. For example, and it's the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Yes, ma'am.
It's the little things. It makes me laugh. I am my kids say, if you walk past a towel, I will wash it. You know, I am just, you know, if it touches the floor, anything, the second I'm doing a load of laundry. Well, Joe now hides clothes from me. I have to go on a treasure hunt. You know? I mean, I'll find socks in drawers.
That's right. I hide them. I only wore them once. I'm wearing them again. Don't wash that.
But that's the point. You wore them. They need to be washed. But anyway, so we come from two totally different perspectives. But instead of it making us miserable, I just kind of laugh and go on the treasure hunt. You know, I mean, like, okay, let me go see what I can find in this room. Let me find in this room. And
Well, Angel, she'll hear me say something. What'd you say? And I'll say, doggone it, she found my clothes. She found my socks. I left them and she found them.
Even this morning, he had to go on a treasure hunt to find his iron shirt. So we're learning to adjust, but it's those little things like that where it's just, why make yourself miserable about it? I mean, it's not that big of a deal. All I can do at the end of the day is work on me.
Yes.
I cannot make anybody change.
Only God can change a human. You can't. Right. And people are wearing each other out. So, well, I'll make them like me. I'll change how they think. No, that's part of getting married. I sort of oversimplify it when I say it. But you marry your opposite.
Yeah.
You marry your total. God looked at Adam and said, you need help. He didn't make another Adam. He made an Eve.
Yeah.
You need something you don't have, somebody that's good at something you're not good at, that thinks the way you don't think. Two are better than one, not because you're agreeing, it's because you see the problem from a different viewpoint.
Yeah.
So that's just part of marriage. That's the lifeline. Because, you know, I don't care how long you're married. You know, man, my first marriage, like, I don't care, we married 40 years, and I learned something every day. Ooh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Ooh, well, I didn't know that, because you don't stay the same. You grow in God's grace. You change. My first one, our standard changed. You know, I think we'd been married 12 years, and we were driving back from going on our family vacation every year to the family farm in Tennessee. I never went on a real vacation. I go to the family farm, big bedrooms. My mom was, she ran the high school cafeteria. She cooked really good. Dad's got rod and reels and shotguns and hunting dogs, whatever he needs right there. It's free. And so I did that every year. So we were driving back through Memphis, going back to Oklahoma. And my wife said, Joe, we're not going to the family farm on vacation ever again. I said, did you and mom get in a fight? She said, no, I love your mom, but we're not going there on vacation. We'll go visit for a day or two, but we're not doing a 2-week vacation at the family farm ever again. And I said, well, what do you want to do? She said, I want to go on a real vacation. So what kind's that? She said, the kind you pay for. And that's where she said, where do you want to go? She said, I want to go to Disney World. I said, you have any idea what that would cost to go there? She said, I don't care. You got a year to get us there. And so all of a sudden, the person I married, that we were so alike, our fathers worked for the same company, our families went to the same church, we went to the same high school, we were like kissing cousins. But all of a sudden we realized, we're not the same. Nope. We think different. And now that will be the same for everybody.
Yeah.
And so people brag. One guy says, my wife, we don't ever fight. I said, really? I never heard that, because all couples disagree. And he said, I go to work very early when my wife gets up. I go home really late. When I get home, I get food in my mouth, and I go to bed as soon as I can. I just don't fight. That's not a real marriage.
No, that's not a relationship. So, I mean, my suggestion would be just work on you.
Yes. Yeah, God help me take, blindness from my mind, it's enlighten eyes of my understanding. Lord, I do declare that the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I am going to be a person of love, a person of laughter. The joy of the Lord is going to be my strength. I will go the second mile.
Yeah.
I will do the shirt and the coat. And that's love. And love is effective. You know, 1 Corinthians said, love won't fail. And so don't get in a fight and I demand this, you'll stop that. And no. Hey, I'm going to love you into this thing.
Right.
You're going to be so glad you married me. We kid about it in our men's retreat. So I don't care how bald and fat I get, I want to be the greatest thing ever happened to you outside of Jesus. You're going to thank God when you get up. Man, I want to thank God for my husband. What a blessing he was. So,
and right now I'm loving Joe to stop riding those brakes so hard.
Well, I've got to where I just don't drive anymore. I'm like a really old guy. Where you going? I'm going to ride with her.
Yeah, you heard of driving Miss Daisy. He's driving Mr. Joe.
Yeah. There is an answer. There is an answer to every situation, yes, but you can't demand it.
Right. So here's an interesting one. What are your thoughts on prenuptial agreements?
Well, we're going to come from two different sides of the planet on this one.
Yes, we are.
I have never, ever believed in prenuptial agreements. I think it's because, I'm going to give a real religious answer, I think it's because I've taught on marriage so long. it's the way God had it set up. Adam and Eve didn't have a prenuptial agreement. That they didn't have signed paper. Well, I'm going to do this, you're going to do that, I'll do this, I'll do that. But the world has changed, and there's sin in the world, and there are no perfect people. You know, Adam and Eve were great until they sinned, and then it got nasty. They had to go to JCPenney's and buy some clothes, and, you know, they started, you know, they lying, and then they got fired and evicted from the house. Their kids started killing each other. Sin kills.
Yeah.
And because we live in a sinful world, you do need to make sure you have a – and I teach it in our marriage seminars. Everybody needs a good lawyer and a good accountant and a really good pastor, because those are three areas you're going to deal with.
Yeah.
And so – people say, well, you know, the Bible says not to sue. Well, no, that's not exactly what it means. So I've been situations in business before like, hey, guys, I'm trying to be nice, but if you keep pushing, I'm going to get my attorney and we're going to have to stop. And so twice in my 60-plus years on this planet, I've had to hire an attorney, once with a family member. Hey, guys, I love you, but if you keep pushing, I'm going to have to do something. And I was very nice with both of them. I think I was. Now, this is me talking. I thought I was very nice. And so I confronted him and said, listen, guys, I don't agree. I don't agree with what you're doing. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call my attorney. I recommend you call yours, and we'll let our lawyers deal with it. I love you, but I can't go with this. I don't agree with this. So we'll go with the law, see what the law says. And so that's Romans 13, you know. If you can't get two people to agree, we'll go get a second party. If they can't, we'll get a third party. But if you have to, you go get your lawyer.
Well, I think I have a different perspective
on
prenuptial agreements. And here's why. Because I've been divorced. So in a first marriage, in a perfect world, I would say absolutely no prenup. But like I was married for 23 years and you were married for what,
45?
45 years.
Yep.
And so then you have children involved.
Yes, you do.
So my suggestion, and I think this I don't understand why people don't do this. I think it takes let's take it off the table, the fear that the kids have and everything else. And here's, to me, the best way to do that is to say everything that you and your wife worked for does belong to your children. That's it. But now you're married, and so what you should do is get an insurance policy that would take care of your new family.
We're actually doing that. We're in the middle of that right now as a married couple, you know, in our second marriage.
So then take the pressure off the table.
Yes.
Take the money question off the table so that fear is gone.
Nobody's guessing. No. Yep. And plus that keeps people from threatening. Hey, we've gone to the lawyer. Here's what we're doing. Here's yours, and here's this. It's all legal.
And then it says, well, you know, well, she or he is not after the money. Let's just take that off the table. Make it, you know, and
defuse the thing.
Yeah. So just look at it a different way. So
that's a good idea, Angel.
You know, take care of your children.
Yes.
And then take care of your new wife and
well, we know so many couples because today there are more second marriages than there are first marriages in America. And so that being the case, you got more blended families than core families. We have recommended that you really, if you're going to get a second marriage, you know, if there's a second, you need to get a good attorney. Here's what we're doing. Here's what I'm agreeing to. I want to get married again. I'm marrying this person, but here are the boundaries. What I had before, it's very simple. We saw the attorney twice, you know, before we got married. And so here's what we're going to do. Here's what I'm leaving to them. But everything I'm doing, I now have a new spouse. I'm going to live my life for her, give everything I've got to, spend all my time with, give all my money to. This is not necessarily what we recommend, but Angel and I told her the day we got married, I don't control the money. She do. I'm giving my life to you. I love you. If I didn't love you, shouldn't have married you. If you didn't trust, I shouldn't have married you. And so if you mess up, and what does that mean? Would that mean they're not going to mess up? No, people make mistakes, make dumb decisions. But I think, you know, what are you going to do? Well, let's put up the barriers. You know, here's what we can and can't do and will and won't do. And can we live with that? Yes. Well, let's say I do and start sucking lips off each other's face.
Yeah. All right. So we have one TV in our house.
Whoa.
That is a bad start right there. Honestly, we want to spend time together, but I can't stand the stuff she watches, HGTV. And she can't stand my shows either, football. That's me and Joe right there. There's very little that both of us would want to watch together. Sometimes the things that should have a simple answer are the hardest things to deal with. How do you handle this?
I got the hard. I got the hard answer. When you got married, you died.
I got the good answer because we are in hotel rooms all the time, And Joe loves football, which I like football, but I can't watch hours on end of football. So I take my little computer, get it hooked up to the internet, and I watch my little HGTV on my computer. And it brings peace.
Well, Angel and I are very different. You know, we're so different. What she wants to watch, and she loves what she wants to watch. She says, Joe, you need to watch this. And I look at that, no, I don't think that. And I don't watch very many movies. I like Saturday college football. I do like college football. So that's my day, Saturday.
And black and white movies.
And I like black and white movies because the good guy always wins. So if the movie's in color, it's probably not going to be good. And so I would always ask Angel, even to this day, does this end good? She said, I'm not going to tell you. Well, I'm not watching if I don't know if it's any good. And so, but she's starting to sway me as a married couple. I'm starting to learn. She'll have me watch something. I think, man, I'm going to hate this, but I'm going to watch because I love my wife. And I realized I haven't had a bad movie yet. Well, no, there was one that ended really just good person dropped dead and all this. I watched the two. I'm going to watch the good guy die. That ain't ever going to happen again, Angel. I'm just saying it ain't going to happen again. It's not going to happen.
I think I fell asleep in that.
And so I still like black and white movies because of the time they were made in. And I realized I don't care what's going to happen. Good guy's going to win. Bad guy's going to get caught. It's just real simple.
I mean, honestly, if it's that big of an issue, I would get another TV.
Well, that was the last thing because we finally did do that. And believe it or not, You can buy a TV for $12 online. Somebody's trying to sell one somewhere. Now, it may not be the latest. It may not be the screen size you want. But for somewhere less than $50, you can get another TV. And that will just solve some
problems.
And, I
mean, honestly, if it's not even worth the argument,
Well, I want, you know, as a husband, I want my wife to watch what she wants to watch.
Yeah.
I don't control your life. We're two different people that got married, but I don't control your life. And so she likes the HGTV shows and she likes the medical shows. I can't watch no medical show. Oh, last night there was a medical show on. We came to bed and there's somebody's belly laid open and poor doctor.
600 pound life.
Shut that off. I can't watch that. And she was very nice. Yes, Joe, I'll turn that. We'll turn it to something else. And so she likes stuff because she's a realist. And me, I kind of still live in La La Land, but we're two worlds that came together. We have really, we really do have a great marriage. We really do.
And honestly, it's just like, and I watch football.
Yes, you do.
I do.
Yes.
And I like it. I just can't do three or four games in a row.
Well, Saturday, that's what's wonderful.
That's when the old computer comes out.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So,
Did we answer that? Did we answer that?
Get another TV.
Get another TV is probably the simplest thing.
Or start to like HGTV.
Yeah, start to like what they like. Well, that wraps up this week's podcast. Remember to get those questions in by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram, or just sending your questions in to mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
Hey, thanks, everybody, for the great questions. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast so they can get blessed, too. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be right here.
We love you guys.